So a couple things. First of all, this is my last Sunday with you as your interim priest. And all kinds of thoughts and feelings about that. I've been given, just to let you know, I've been very graciously given permission by Pastor Chris, who is our new rector, and also by the Archdeacon to continue to be members of this parish, which is what we wanted to be in the first place, which is why I want to come here. So thank you. And it is very gracious of them. It is exceptional. So I have to exceptionally well behave myself. So it is unusual. So I'm very, very grateful. You know, our original intention after I retired was to we were very, very much considering coming to St. George's. So which brings me to my starting point, which is my interview with the wardens when I first came here. And I know Shola isn't able to be here this morning, but I remember particularly interviewed by the wardens, and I remember Shola asking me a very pointed question, being a lawyer and everything. And he asked me a very pointed question. He goes, "Why would someone like you want to leave retirement and come and start this new job?" And I Why would you do that? And I said to him, "Well, I don't." Okay. And after that, of course, they had to suggest to the Archbishop they hire me because it was obviously so incredibly motivated. But it was, I have to tell you, I mean, to be honest, it was a real struggle for me. Not just because I got used to sleeping in, although that was certainly a good thing. It was, I did not want to come. And I was very clear with the wardens. I'm here because the Archbishop told me to apply. I did not want to come. The Archbishop phoned me a couple of times. I argued with the Archbishop that I was not going to come. The Archdeacon phoned me. I argued with the, I don't know if you ever tried arguing with the Archdeacon, but anyway. I just down just a touch. Thank you. I argued with the Archdeacon and told her I didn't want to come, and I think even I may have disputed with my wife whether I should come or not a little bit. I was very determined that I was not going to come, and the Archbishop said to me, "Well, I got to tell you, I love the Archbishop dearly. I mean that very sincerely, and I respect him profoundly. But once you retire, you can start to get a little bit cheeky. I got to let you know." So he said to me, "Oh, it's just going to be, you're just going to preach and celebrate the Eucharist and do pastoral care." And I said to the Archbishop, "Your Grace, we both know that's not true." And so I was really struggling with, because I knew, you know, I knew that we had things we need to deal with that were beyond preaching pastoral care and celebrating the Eucharist, that there were other things important to life and community, you know, that had people had been working very hard on. And so I'm going, nope, not going there. And so one day I was just sitting. I remember this very clearly. I was very clear, not going. And then I was sitting at the kitchen room table, and I was just sitting there, and it was like a, I've never had this happen. It was like a physical sensation come over me. And it's, "Yes, you're going." It was like that. "Yes, you're going." I'm going, "Okay. I guess that's a yes then." And I did. By coincidence, divine providence coincidence, or the usual combination of the two, my last Sunday as your interim priest, I'm very much looking forward to leadership of Pastor Chris and the continued leadership of the Reverend Joan and our other clergy here as well. I'm very much looking forward to that. But by coincidence, the last Sunday that I'm leading you as interim priest, I was surprised to see this. The Old Testament reading from Micah contains what has been I've adopted as my mission statement for about the last 30 years. I go, yo, how did these things work together? I don't know. It's weird. What does the Lord require of you? Which is to act justly, love tenderly, and to walk humbly with your God. It's a good mission statement. If you're looking for one, it's a good one. So to act justly means, just to put briefly, means especially to care for those who are vulnerable, right? Those who are outsiders, to welcome the outsiders, and to care for those who are powerless. That's what justice meant in the Old Testament. Love tenderly spoke specifically of those to whom we're bound in covenant relationships. So that would be our immediate family. And also, especially in the ancient world, it would mean the extended family. So we are supposed to particularly care for those who we're bound to in those kind of covenantal relationships. Loving kindly refers to, another way translating it, is covenant love. So we think about that. Oh, so care for those beyond our immediate realm of care. Make sure that the powerless are cared for, that even their places, structures in place to care for them. Care for our immediate or extended family. Respect and love our covenants towards them. And then it says, walk humbly with our God, which is self-explanatory, but it means to walk. You remember one time we talked with having clenched hands versus having open hands? It means to approaching God with open hands and an open heart, as opposed to clenched hands and a closed heart. And it also means, this is an additional part of it, it means to walk in wisdom, to walk wisely. Because if you're walking with God, you're walking wisely. You're not running off impulsively, you know, into the bushes, you know. You're walking wisely, and to be prudent and be discreet in the way that you walk. So that's the mission statement. One of the things that have the benefits of being at St. George's here, for studying this week, this passage, which I thought I knew very well, and then reflecting on our time at St. George's here, has been, I've learned a lot. It has really helped me enrich that mission statement and to know what it means. I had kind of, maybe this is my own personality or the times we live in, but I kind of, in my own mind, turned it into inner dispositions. You know what I mean? Inside of myself, I should act justly, you know, love tenderly, walk kindly. Like, it's kind of like how I should feel about life. But in the ancient world, they meant, when Micah said this, he meant, oh no, this is stuff you can see. You know, if you're going to act justly, you should see people acting justly. If you're going to love tender, you should see people respecting their covenants. And if you walk humbly with your God, you should be able to see it. And also, it's not just the disposition of individuals, it's the disposition of community, right? So one of the things I learned when I interviewed people, I don't know if you remember back then when I was annoying you all by trying to interview everybody, you're very gracious about it. When I interviewed people about a year and a half ago, is that people had a very strong, they didn't quote Micah, but they had a very strong sense of this, what you just heard. I think you'd probably agree with that, wouldn't you? That those things are pretty strongly are pretty strong values in our community. And the other thing that I learned is that it's taught me this is, again, these are not just inner dispositions, that these are things that are lived together in a community, and that a community can be those things as people are together. A community, not just individuals, a community can act justly together as a community. A community can love tenderness together as a community, as a whole community. A community can walk humbly with God, with open hearts, open minds, and a desire to walk wisely as a community. That's not news to any of you, I know, but it's news to a lot of us who are very individualistic. And so what I, one of the things I learned from St. George's is, yeah, you can see it, you can hear it, you can touch it. And these are things we do together as a community. Does that make sense? Does that make sense to you? As a community, I really, that's something I learned from, I have learned from the people here over the last year and a half or so. These are not just individual, not just individual dispositions, but much more than that, the way that we live together. So I'm sorry, this morning I'd left my sermon at home. So I had to write it out in highlighter in the car on the way here, which is why I'm stumbling at a certain point in what I want to say. So I just want to read you a little prayer. So I discovered this probably a couple of weeks ago in my prayer journal, which my wife very kindly gave me. It's a very beautiful prayer journal. And I was reflecting on my retirement. This would have been during the summers, reflecting on retirement. I was going through the monastic rule that I partly follow, and reflecting on and praying on the monastic rule. And it talked about community life. And so I'd reflected on what the monks had to say. And then I wrote a prayer at the end of, and the end of the, the end of the section where it talked about community life. I wrote this prayer. Lord, bring us to the particular community to which you have called us, the place you have determined that will be the community in which we will work out our salvation. That was in maybe May, June. And then the Archbishop called me and I told him to buzz off. So I thank you sincerely on our behalf of being that place for us. I thank you for helping me understand my own mission statement, for living it out so concretely. My wife quoted me something from the great Anglican preacher Fleming Rutledge a little while ago. I think you know Fleming from Rutledge a little bit. She says, what do you need to have a good Christian community? I'll summarize what she said. She could say it more articulately than I do. You need people gathered together to be to hear and be formed by the word of God on a weekly basis. Think of it this way. Each week, we need to be gathered together to be renewed in that mission to act justly, to love kindly, and to walk tenderly with our God. Doesn't just happen by itself, right? The word of God speaks to us. It transforms our heart. It changes us into those people. And is there anybody who actually lived that way? Okay, you're all going to fail Sunday school if you can't tell me who actually lived that way. That was Jesus, right? Jesus, God and man, who comes to us each week, not only tells us it, but forms us in it, in the Eucharist, unites us to him, and makes us that, makes us just, loving, and humble. So I thank the Lord for bringing us here. And I know Pastor Chris, who I know very well over the course of the years. So I know that I can say this of her because I respect her. And I know that she is going to lead you in those, continuing to build on those foundations of justice to those who are cast out, vulnerable, love for those, building up communities, covenant communities within our parish, and lead you to continue to walk with humility before God. So, yeah, thank you. Amen.